General Kayumba Nyawasa,
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
You're accusing President Kagame of conducting the attack that made the plane of General Habyarimana crashed. What kind of evidence do you have?
Well, I was in a position to know who was responsible for the attack. I'm not in hiding. The report about the aircraft came out when I was in India. I never ran away, I remained in India. And the French, if they wanted, they would have come talk to me when I was in India. And even now, I'm still prepared to talk to them. So how I know will be a matter between me and the court, and I'm prepared to give them all the evidence, you know. At that time, I was the director of military intelligence. There is no way I wouldn't have known who got involved and what happened.
So you're ready to testify in France, for example?
Without doubt, without a doubt. Obviously, yes. And the time will come for me to do it.
Even if you're accused of being part of it, you will go there, face those charges.
Being accused is not the same as being guilty. I am accused, but I'm not guilty. And my conscience is very clear.
So you start to struggle together. You had close relationship. When it started to be difficult between you two?
Well, it developed over a period of time. It took about maybe 5-6 years because I started realizing that instead of building a democracy, instead of reconciling the people of Rwanda, we were all obliged and all forced to build an individual. And I sounded a few things to him, indicating to him that I was dissatisfied with the situation. And I was not alone. There are some of my colleagues also who had indicated their satisfaction, and eventually were labeled as the enemies of the country. We were called all sorts of names. That's why I'm here in exile.
At one point, every decision were discussed inside RPF, or it was like one-man decision?
Well, originally, during the struggle, we used to discuss openly. We could discuss, we could agree, we disagree, not only between me and President Kagame, but within the executive committee of the RPF. But around 1998, 1999, 2000, the situation changed. Discussions were no longer tolerated. Disagreements were considered to be like dissension. Since 2000, and particularly towards the removal of President Bizimungu and eventually his imprisonment, had made it very, very clear that I was dissatisfied with the situation. Pastor Bizimungu never committed any crime. He had a disagreement with Kagame, and he was forced out of the presidency. And he went out and tried to make an opposition party. That's not a crime. And my argument at that time was that if Bizimungu has formed a political party, they should allow him to have his party, let him stand in as an opposition leader. And if he wins, then so be it. But the way things were, there was no possibility that Bizimungu would win in the elections. And so there was no need for them to take him to prison. But eventually they came up with trumpled up charges, including having a militia, including a genocide ideology, all those kind of things. And to me, I knew all those were fabricated, and I opposed.
Why did you leave Rwanda in 2010, February 2010?
Well, I left Rwanda in 2010 because the situation had become so bad. I had information about my own security, and I knew that attempts had been made earlier to have me eliminated. The people who were supposed to have done it had declined to do it. And then in 2010, when I went to Rwanda, there was a kangaroo meeting that was put in place to try and talk to me and accuse me of lots of accusations regarding my own conduct. And they were asking me to ask for forgiveness from Paul Kagame. I personally knew that I had not committed any crime and all those things were fabricated. I refused to do it. But I also knew that President Kagame wanted that kind of letter so that I can be able to make some kind of self-indictment. And he could use it within the RPF, among the diplomats, and within the general public so that he can use it against me. So I decided to leave because I knew it was a common practice, certain kind of fabricated letters to hold people hostage. And I was not ready to become a hostage of the regime.
In February 2010, there were some attacks on Rwandan soil. There were some grenades attacks at that time. And you were accused of conducting those attacks.
If I had been involved in those attacks, I would have gotten arrested in Kigali. The very fact that I was accused of having thrown those grenades when I was here in South Africa is indicative of the fact that I wasn't involved. And eventually, a number of people were arrested in Rwanda for having thrown those grenades. None of them ever implicated me in those attacks. Actually, there is some school of thought indicating that those grenade attacks were thrown around by the military intelligence with an intention of arresting Ingabire and accusing him of throwing those grenades. But then when I left, then they were shifted on me.
So you went to exile. You arrived in South Africa. You're in South Africa. And then in June 2010, there was an attempt against your life. Do you know who is responsible for that?
There's no doubt who was behind that. It was really President Kagame, because even before he did it, he said it in Parliament. He went to Parliament. He said that if it requires him to use a hammer to kill a fry, and that was in reference to me and Patrick, because he said, in as far as I'm concerned and Patrick is concerned, if it's going to require him to use a hammer to kill a fry, he's going to do it. And that he said that when in May, and in June, I was shot. In 2011, when he visited Uganda and he was asked about the attempt on my life, he said openly that I deserved it. Now, the case is now in court, and I do not have to speculate.
Everybody is saying, like, those people are talking now because they are in exile. But before, when they were part of the government, they were not, like, criticizing President Kagame at all.
You may tolerate something because you expect changes. But now, in Rwanda, there won't be any change. There is no longer any room. This dictatorship was never developed in one day. It took decades, about 2 decades now, to mature. So it's now time for us to talk so that we can be able to stop it. Otherwise, what we're going to have, we're going to have another violence to be able to change the dictatorship. So we are using peaceful means, and the only peaceful means available to us is to talk and be able to mobilize our people so that they can be able to fight the dictatorship peacefully.
Thank you.